Today, Shir's Masechta Sanhedrin Adaf Ein Ches, we will begin two lines from the top of the Amud, in the middle of the line, with the words Tana Rabbanan. The Chachamim taught in a Brisa the following halachas concerning the act of Ritzicha. He ko asora b'nei Adam ba'asora maklois umeis. If 10 people, each one, had in their hand one club, and they all used their clubs against a victim and he died, the halacha is, bein bevas achas, the Tanakhama holds, whether this was done simultaneously, that they all did it at the same time, bein bezeach hazeh, or they did it one after the other, piturin, even when they did it successively, one after the other, the 10th one, the last one to do it, he's also putter. However, on this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro argues, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro Omer, b'zeh achar zeh, when they do it successively, ha'achra in the 10th one, is chayiv. Why? B'nei shekirev es misasa, because he has hastened, he has taken away from the victim a moment of life, he has quickened the process of death, and for that alone, he is chayiv. And the Gemara is going to explain the svara of this machloikus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro. On Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim, and both of them, Mikra Echad Darshu, they darshan the same pasuk. It says in Vayikra Perek Chav Dalet, V'ish Kiyake Kol Nefesh Adam, if a person hits any part of a Nefesh Adam, or the whole, that itself will be the machloikus, as we'll see. Kol nefesh adam, Rabbanan Savri, kol nefesh, what do we mean with the words kol nefesh, ad de ikka kol nefesh, until you are taking away an entire life. But if, for example, you're the 10th one, you've already been helped by the whole group of 9 that preceded you, so you're not taking away from the victim his entire life. You have to take away his whole life in order to be chayiv for ritzicha. And therefore, whether you did it at the same time or whether you did it one after the other, you would be putter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro, he's of the opinion, kol nefesh. You know what the word kol nefesh means? Kol dehu nefesh, any part of the nefesh. Even if you only hastened his death and took away a little portion of his life, that itself makes you culpable and you're chayav for ritzicha. The Run brings down Tosfos that the machloikus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro is in the word nefesh. The pasuk stated, the ish kiyake kol nefesh. So the shal is, the rabbanan hold that nefesh means the entire nefesh and not a miktsas, a portion. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro is of the opinion even miktsas nefesh. So the machloikus centers around the meaning of the word nefesh. However, the Run says, no, the machloikus is in the word kol. What does kol mean? Now we are familiar with, there's a famous Vilner Gaon. We say it in the Haggadah Shel Pesach on the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Masechta Brachos, where we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who said that you have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelois, and he wasn't Zaycha until he heard it from Ben Zoyma. And this was a machloek between the Chacham and Ben Zoyma in the Pasuk, L'man Tizkeres Yom Tzeis Chumayet Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, where the Chachamim held that Kol Yimei Chayecha includes Yumoisa Mashiach, and Ben Zoyma was of the opinion that Kol Yimei Chayecha means the Leilois as well. So the Vilner Gaon says that the Machloikus is in the word Kol. Does Kol could mean two things, says the Vilner Gaon. It could mean the entirety, or it could mean every. The Chachamim say that Kol Yimei Chayecha means every day of your life, including the days of Yumaisa Mashiach. Ma'ashenke Ben Zoyma says that kol means the entire, the whole day, not only in the morning, but even at night as well. So what the Run is saying, according to this Vilner Gaon, is that we're used to kol meaning every or the entire. Machloikes Ben Zoyma and Chachamim. But here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro says there's a new dimension to the word kol. Kol can mean any. As the Run brings down, the pasuk says, Loisechaya kol neshama, which means any life you should not allow them to live. So we see the word kol can also mean any. That's how Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro understands the word kol in this pasuk, that ve'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam, any part of a nefesh adam, even a mikzas, even the last one, he is chayif for hastening the death of the victim. And Amr Rava, says Rava in a further explanation of the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, hakol moide, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira are moide, behoreg es a treifa, if someone kills a treifa, shehu potter, that the rotseach is potter. What is a treifa? So Rashi tells us. Before we go on, let me just point out to a very important Rashi. Rashi in Kol Dehu Nefesh says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that the tenth one is chayiv if they did it successively, one after the other, but even he is moide that if two or ten people do it, bevas achas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is moide chachamim, that all of them will be potter. Why? So Rashi says, because that we learn out from the very words of the pasuk itself, v'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam. And we learn out, ish kiyake amar rachmana v'loy shnayim shiiko, if two or more did it at the same time, then even Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is moide that it's potter. Now, getting back to what Rava says, that if your hoyer is a treif, as Rashi explained, since in the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and the Chum, we did not find mention of killing a treif, their whole machloikis is centered around 10 people doing it one after the other, whether the 10th one is chayiv or not. So we deduce from this that there is no machloikis. Here, everyone will be moida. That b'hoyrig is a treifa shehu pater. What is a treifa? Says Rashi, kegoin nikav haveshet oikrum hamoyach. If the food pipe, the esophagus, had a hole in it, or there was a hole in the membrane around the brain, which any of these render a treifa not able to live. And Tosfos points out that not only according to the Man d'Yomar who says treifa ein echaya, and as Rashi explains, therefore it's gavra ketila kotel. If you killed a treifa, you killed a dead man. It's a walking dead man, but he's considered halachically to be a dead man, and therefore you're not chayav for ritzicha. But it's not only according to the Man d'Yomar that treifa ain't a chaya, but Tosfos says that even according to the Man d'Yomar that treifa chaya, but that's only temporary. And eventually, even according to him, he will die also, and therefore it's considered like you killed a dead person, and therefore, hoyrig is a treifa is potter. Also, Hakol Moidim, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira both agree, but Geis is B'dei Shemayim. If you have a person who's critically ill, he's on the verge of death, he's in his last moments, and you killed him, Shehu Chayiv, there you're Chayiv. Because there is no inherent flaw in the person of having a hole in his lung or in his membrane, but rather, he's in the throngs of death. However, even in such a case, it is possible that the person can live. And even if he were to die, it is the same as any other human being who eventually will die. And in Mela, there is no difference how long he's still alive. There, everybody would consider that since he's not a treifa, even though he's in the death process, but miracles can happen, and some schus he may have that even at the moment of gesisa that he should survive. And because of all of these mitigating factors, he would be chayiv if he kills him. B'gayis b'day shemayim, shehu chayiv, it's considered a living person for which the rotzeach would be chayiv. Loi nechliku, in what, says Rav, is the machloikis between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, ella b'gayis b'day adam. Here, where 10 people or 9 people before the 10th one did it, they had already hit him so much that he was in the last moments of life. The Shaila is, what do you compare Geisus B'dei Adam to? Mar Medam Elei L'Treifa. The Tanakhama that holds Potter, the 10th one is Potter, he compares Geisus B'dei Adam, someone who's dying as a result of being hit by a person, he is comparable to a treifa because he cannot survive anymore. And we'll see why exactly he's like a treifa and not like a geis b'dei shemayim. Umar and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, medam alei l'geis b'dei shemayim, that a geis b'dei adam has the same halacha as a goyis b'dei shemayim. And just like if you kill a goyis b'dei shemayim, you're chayav for tzicha, so too goyis b'dei adam. And now the Gemara goes ahead to explain the svaras. Man, the madame lele treifa, the one who compares a goyis b'dei adam to a treifa, my time ala madame lele goyis b'dei shemayim. Why doesn't he compare him to a goyis b'dei shemayim? Why doesn't he compare goyis b'dei adam to goyis b'dei shemayim? The answer is because Gais is B'dei Shemayim, lo is Avid Be Maisa. Hi, is Avid Be Maisa. By a Gais B'dei Shemayim, it's a natural death process. The person was sick, and there was no action taken. There was no act like a treifa. A treifa is chutz from natural. It's not the natural way that a person lives with a hole in his lung or in his membrane surrounding his skull. Surrounding his brain. That's not the normal thing. So something took place that affected the natural events. So too, by Goyis B'nei Adam, he was hit by nine people. So that is like a treifa. Mashiach and Goyis B'nei Shemayim is the natural order that everyone eventually dies. So therefore, we compare Goyis B'nei Adam to treifa. According to the Tanakhama, Uman de Madame Lele Gois B'dei Shemayim, according to Rabbi Yudah Ben-Maseir, that Gois B'dei Adam is compared to Gois B'dei Shemayim, my time alone, Madame Lele Treifa, why didn't he compare him to a Treifa? Gois B'dei Adam should have been compared to a Treifa? No, because his svar is Treifa, Mechatchi Simonim. A Treifa has his vital organs, which Rashi says are the Simon of Chiyusa. The signs of vital life, those Simonim have a defect in them. They've been cut. In the case of Gois B'nei Adam, even though nine people have already hit him so badly that he's about to expire, but lo mechatchi simonim, but there are no simonim that have been cut, because then he would be a treifa. It's speaking about that his vital organs are all there, except still he's on the verge of death. So therefore, since his vital organs have not been cut, he's not compared to a treifa, but rather he's compared to Gois B'dei Shemayim. And just like if one kills a Gois B'dei Shemayim, he's Chayiv Misa, so too says Rabbi Yudah Ben-Maseira, if one kills a Gois B'dei Adam, he's Chayiv Misa. Tani, Tana Kamed Rav Sheshes, a Tana learned in front of Rav Sheshes, the following pasuk, the Ishki Yaka Kol Nefesh Adam, Lahavi, this includes Hamakas Chaveri. If Reuven hit his friend Ve'en Boy Kedei Lahamas, and he did not give him a death blow, it was a hit that would not normally kill him. Ubo Achra and Shimon came along v'imiso and killed this victim. Shehu chayiv, that Shimon is chayiv. That's what the pasuk is telling us with v'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam. Ask the Gemara, ein boy kedei lahamas pshita, if Reuven did not deal him a death blow. And now it was Shimon who dealt him the death blow, so of course you're chayiv for that. What did the pasuk have to be marbed that for? Ella. We'll have to say the pasuk is marbe the following case. Yesh boy kedei lahamas. Reuven did inflict a death blow on the victim, and he would have eventually have died. Just like in the case of our 10 people who hit, even if the 10th one would not have killed him, he would eventually have died. But ubo achar v'imisei, the Shimon came along and finally killed him, or in the case of our 10. The 10th one rendered the final blow. The halacha is Shehu Chayiv, that Shimon is Chayiv in this case that we're speaking about now, and in the case of the 10 people who hit one after the other, the 10th one is the Ritzeach. Vistamak Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira, that Tana who learned this in front of Rav Sheshes, he was giving a Stam Halacham. He didn't mention Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira's name, but he was paskening without mentioning Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira's name, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira, that kol nefesh doesn't mean the entire nefesh, but rather kol nefesh means even a mikzas, even if you took away a moment of his life, you are considered the murderer, and you are Ritzeach, and you are Chayiv Misa. And now, we are going to have four halachas that Rava tells us concerning a treifa. Amar Rava, ha-hoyrik is a treifa potter, as we've learned before. If someone kills a treifa, he's potter, because he's killing gavra ketila, someone who's considered halachically dead. According, as we said from Tosfos, whether it is according to the Mandiyamar, that Trefa can't live. And even if I say a Trefa can live, it's only temporarily, but eventually, even according to that Mandiyamar, he's going to die, and therefore the murderer is not halachically considered a rotzeach. What about Trefa Shaharag, a Trefa who was a murderer? So the halach is as follows. It depends. If he did this act b'fnei bezdin, then he's chayiv. Shaloi b'fnei bezdin, but if he did it not in front of bezdin, then he's potter. And the Gemara explains why. B'fnei bezdin chayiv, in front of bezdin he's chayiv d'chsiv, because the pasuk says in Devorim, Perek Yud Gimel, uviarta hara mikirbecha, that if bezdin sees in front of their eyes that some evil has been done, for which a person would be normally chayiv misa if Edom came to report on it, and if Bezdin sees it themselves, they don't need Edom, they themselves have a halacha of removing evil from their midst. And Tosfos tells us, B'divrei HaMaskil b'fnei Bezdin, that's speaking about they saw it during the daytime, Shedonin al riyosim, that they can paskin based on their own seeing of the crime. Because if it's speaking about they saw it at night, then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in Bava Kamma, tells us, Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, that we require Edim, Bezdin then cannot paskin based on their own seeing of the event. So, and then we're going to have a problem, and the Trefa will be potter, as we'll soon see, why, when it's Shalai B'fnei Bezdin, which, if you see it at night, Tosfos is telling us is tantamount to Shalai B'fnei Bezdin, why it's potter. But if he sees it in the daytime, if Bezdin sees it in the daytime, they themselves can kill him without aid. But Shaloi b'fnei Bezdin, if the murder of the done by the Trefa was done not in front of the Bezdin, potter, or it was done at night, as we explained from Tosfos, then the Trefa is potter. The Havila Eidu Shiata Yochalazima, because then it is Edus, witnesses who would have to come and testify against the Trefa, you would not be able to be mazim them. And any testimony which we can't apply the halach of hazama is not considered Edus. So the Trefa would never be able to have Edim testify against them because it would be Edus. Hazama means that if two Edim said that Reuven killed Shimon in New York at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and two other Edom came and said, how could you testify that when at that very time you were with us in Los Angeles and you could not have seen the murderer? So the halacha is, I see some like Hashem Lashes Lachim, that whatever they planned, the Edom planned to do to Reuven, to kill Reuven, is done to the Edom. That's the halacha of Azam. Now, in the case of a Trefa, we cannot apply the din of Azama, because if Edom will say that the Trefa killed, and other Edom will say, you were with us in Los Angeles, Bezdin cannot do to the first pair of Edom what they plan to do to Reuven, because Reuven is a Trefa. And they can say to Bezdin, well, we wanted to kill a person who allegedly has a din of Misa. He's a dead man. He's a walking dead man. And therefore, you cannot be mazin them. You can't apply vasisim loy kasher zomam la'asoyz lachiv. And therefore, they're not good edim. And therefore, the trefa shaharag shaloy b'fnei bezdin is potter. So that's the first halacha that Rava tells us. Agav urcha, the minchas chinuch, in Moisef Shabbos Simon Chavtel Tes, tells us a chiddush, that this halacha of trefa would apply to Hilchas Shabbos as well. We know that there's an isra of netilas neshama. Somebody kills an animal on Shabbos, they're chayav for being over on one of the lamed tes malachas, says the Minchas Chinuch, that if that animal was a trefa, and a trefa is considered dead, then you are not over on netilas neshama in Hilchas Shabbos. On this Minchas Chinuch, many achronim disagree. For example, in the Shas Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak in Yeridei Simon Zion, he strongly disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch that this can be applied to Hilchas Shabbos. His opinion is that if you killed an animal that was a trefa, you would be over on the Tos Neshama for Shabbos. And many Achronim agree with the Beis Yitzchak there in Yeridei Simon Zion, Ayin Shab. Continues the Gemara with the second halach of Rava concerning trefa. V'yomer Rava, ha'reveyas a trefa. Somebody committed sodomy, mishkav schur, with a trefa. So the din is chayiv. In the last halach of Rava, hoyreges atreifa, there the din is putter, because you're killing a dead person. But if he has this illicit relation with the treifa, then he would be chayiv. However, treifa shirava, if a treifa committed sodomy with somebody else, so bifnei bezdin chayiv. Again, if it's in front of bezdin, then he would be chayiv shalai. Bifnei bezdin, not in front of bezdin, he's potter. Bifnei bezdin chayiv dechsiv v'yakta arabi kibachal, like we had before. And shalai bifnei bezdin potter, the havila edish yata echalazimah. Again, the same thing, that if it was done shalai bifnei bezdin, no edim could come against them, because you can't be mazim to edim, because they wanted to kill a dead person. He has a loch of gavr k'tila, and therefore you can never bring the edim against him, because you cannot be mazim those edim. Therefore, he's putter for being roveh as someone else. Ask the Gemara, sulamali hainahach. This is the exact same halacha as by Hariga. By Hariga, we said trei fisharag bifnei bezdin schayv biarta rav mikabecha shloi bifnei bezdin potter edish yatir achalazima. Why did Rav have to repeat this by Reveya? Answers the Gemara, ain chanami. For that, those halachas, he didn't have to. For the halachas concerning trei fisharag, he didn't have to. But you know what he had to say these halachas for? The first halacha, hareveya esa treifa itzuklei. If somebody committed mishkav schur with a treifa, that he is chayiv, that's what Rava was machadish with the second halacha. Why? Because my other same, I would have thought, lehavi commander mishamish meis, I would say it's like being roiveya, someone who's dead. We just said that a treifa has halacha of a meis. And if somebody's roiveya a meis, the halacha is he's not chayiv on mishkav schur. Kamash malon, no, roiveya a treifa is chayiv. The mishum hanohu, the iser of arayis of mishkav schur is because of pleasure. The ha is le'anoh, even though halachically he has a din of a mace, but he's a warm body. Rashi explains where the person doing the mishkav schur would have hanoh, as opposed to a real mace. Hamishamish is a mace is potter because there is no hanoh, there is no warmth of a body. It's a dead, cold body. And since there is hanoah by Reveya Satrefa, it's different than a Hoyrig Satrefa. A Hoyrig Satrefa is part because you killed a dead man. But Reveya Satrefa, even though halachically has a din of a dead man, but he's physically alive, and therefore there is hanoah, and therefore there would be Mishkav Skur with the Trefa, and the perpetrator would be Chayiv. There's a Chakira of the Asvin Derais, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in Klal Chav Dalet. And this is negated to many halachas, but we'll just mention what the chakira is. When the Gemara says here, the mishum hanohu, what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean that the isser arayis is because of the maisa bia, but there's a condition in the chiyuv based on the act, the maisa bia, that it has to have hanoh? And if there's no hanoh, you're potter, but the chiyuv is because of the maisabi. Or do I say that the whole chiyuv by arayis, by mishkav schur, is because of the hanoh? This is a chakira in the Asvin Deraisa with various nafkaminis lahalacha. It's in Klal Chav Dalet, Ayin Shom. Continues the Gemara with the third halacha of Rav, V'yomer Rava, Eidim Shehi Idu Betreif V'huzmu Ein Deragim. If Edim said testimony against the treif that he committed something for which he would be chayv capital punishment, v'huzmu, and then other Edim came along, there a neragin, the first Edim are a neragin, because they wanted to kill a dead person. So you cannot do to them what they wanted to do to their friend, because it's considered that they were saying Edis against someone who is considered already dead. What about Eide Treifa Shehuzmu? What about if the Eidim themselves are Treifa, and they testified, and against them there were Eidim who were Mazim, the first pair of Eidim who were Treifa? So the halacha is Nerugin. And Rashi says, because of the pasuk we had before, Biarta Rami Kerbecha. When they testify, is always done in front of Bezdin. So just like if a treifa killed someone, or a treifa was reveya someone, if it was done in front of Bezdin, ubiyata rami kibecha, you punish the treifa. So to hear when the edim bore false testimony, And they became Edom Zoymim in front of Bezdin. There's a din of Biyarta Rami Kibecha to kill the Edom, even though they're Trefa. However, Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav in this halacha. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Edi Trefa Shuhuzmu, Ein Rogin. We don't kill them, even though it was done in front of Bezdin. Why? Lefisha Einon Bezoymim Me Zoymimin. Because Zoymim Me Zoymim is not possible, as Rashi explains. That Zoymim Me Zoymim will mean if the second group of Edis, the second pair of Edis, who had made the Edei Trefa into Edom Zoymim, if they subsequently were made Edom Zoymim by a third pair of Edim, the third pair of Edim say to the second pair of Edim, how could you testify that the Edei Trefa were not in New York at the time of the murder? They were in Los Angeles with you when at the time of the murder, you were with us in Florida. Without the Edei Trefa. So the Edei Trefa very well could have been at the murder scene. And you can't testify against them because you were with us. Or we were with you in Los Angeles, but they weren't. So this is called Zoymim Me Zoymim. Now, we believe the third pair of Edim. So we should do to the second pair of Edom what they wanted to do to the first pair of Edom. But the second pair of Edom will tell Bezdin, what did we want to do to the first pair of Edom? They're trefa. We were trying to kill a person who halachically is considered a gavra ktila, who is considered dead. You can't do anything to us. So since the second pair of Edom, you can never be mazim them, then it comes out that you can't accept their testimony to begin with. And Mimela, it's like any other case, says Rav Ashi, of Edom testifying against a trefa, where we can't accept that Edus because they're trying to kill a dead man. So he says that even in this case they'll be potter, says Rashi. So what's that going to swear of Rava? It's not shaykh to have Edom Zoymim here because they're trying to kill a dead person. They can't. So the second pair of Edom, you can never be Muslim them and do to them what they wanted to do to the first pair of Edom because Gavrik Tila. So Rashi answers no. That Edom Zoymim is a Chiddush because why do I ever believe the second pair of Edom over the first pair of Edom? That's a Chiddush of the Torah. So in the Chiddush, in the place of the Chiddush of the Torah, there I would say that I could kill the first pair of Edom based on the testimony of the second pair of Edom, even though the second pair of Edom themselves, you cannot be mazim. Since it's a Chiddush HaTorah in this parsha itself, if the first pair of Edom are trying to say that the Trefa killed someone, so we cannot kill the Trefa, because the Edom that are testifying against him are Edom Shiyat Yochel Azima. The Trefa was Reveya someone, you cannot do anything to the trefa because there's no edus. The edus are yato yachal azima. They were trying to kill a dead person. However, when the edim are testifying that the trefos were edim zoymimim, that is the chiddush in the parsha of edim zoymimim. There, Rava holds that we would kill the edim trefa based on the testimony of the edim, the second pair of edim, even though you can't be muslim, the second pair of edim. So says Rashi. Memela would come out that according to Rava, that we would be able to kill the Edei Trefa. Therefore, we could accept them as Edom to begin with. If we couldn't kill them, if no Edom could testify against the Edei Trefa, then we can't accept the Trefa in a capital punishment case. That's what Rav Ashi would hold. However, according to Rava, that we would kill the Edei Trefa based on the testimony of the second pair of Edom, then we could accept the Edei Trefa in a capital punishment case. The Kes of Mishnah, Hilchos Edus, Perek Chof, Halacha Zayin, asks, if we say that by Edei Trefa, according to Rav Ashi, it's not possible to punish the Edei Trefa because the Edom who are testifying against them are Edei Shiyato Yochel Azima, if so, then why is the case here that it's Edei Trefa Shehuzmu? How did Bezdin accept the Edei Trefa to begin with? You're Trefa, we can't accept you as Edis, because any Edis, according to Rav Ashi, that will come against you, we're not going to be able to be Muslim them. So it comes out that your Eidus that you're saying now is Eidus Shiyat Yochel Azima, because he can never have Edom against you. On this, the case of Mishnah answers, Eidus Hanami. We'll have to say that the case over here is speaking about that Beis Din accepted them as Edom without knowing that they were Trefa. It was only after they were accepted as Edom that they were found out that they're Trefa. And on that, Rav Ashi says, even though their Eidus was initially accepted by the Beis Din, but the Eidim Zoymimim, who will come against them, will not be able to put them Lamisa to say that you are Eidim Zoymimim. And let's say a case where a third pair of Eidim did not come. So it's only the second pair of Eidim against the first pair of Eidim. Rav Ashi says, since the second pair of Eidim can't be Muslim by the third pair of Eidim, Memela, even though the first pair of Eidim who were Trefa were accepted erroneously by Bezdin as Eidim, we will not be able to punish the first pair of Edom based on the testimony of the second pair of Edom. L'fisheinan b'zoyim mezoyim. Continues Rava with the fourth halacha. V'yomer Rava, shor treifa shoharek. A shor who is a treifa that killed someone, chayiv. He's chayiv to, we should kill the shor. The shor shall adam treifa shoharek potter. The ox of a person who is a treifa that killed his potter. My time. What's the reason? Omer Korda Pasuk says, Hashor Yisakov v'gambol of Yumois. We have in connection with Shor Haniskal, a Shor that killed someone. We compare, as we've had before in the Masechta, Kemisis Habalim Kach Misis Hashor. And for this halacha, we also compare it. That what, says the Gemara, Kol Heich the Karinim Bei v'gambol of Yumois. Wherever, if the master would have died in this situation, then Karinim Bei Hashor Yisakov, then we would do a skila to the shore as well. Wherever, if the master would have done this, for example, here, if the master would have killed the treifa, the halacha is that haharik's a treifa's potter. So like harina be ashar yisakel. So therefore, the shore of a person who is a treifa, also we do not kill the shore because we compare him to the bailam. If the Bailam as a treifa would not get killed, the shor belonging to the treifa also does not get killed. Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi says, Afilu shor treifa nami shorik potter. You, Tanakama, hold that a shor who is a treifa that killed would be chayiv. I hold, based on what you just said, Kemisis habam kamisa shor, that the shor who himself is a treifa also is potter. My taima, kiven de ilu bailim havi patiri shor nami potter. He takes this comparison between shor and niskal and the owner a step further. It's not only a shor that belongs to a treifa that's potter, like his master, the treifa, but even if the master's not a treifa and the shor is a treifa, but we put the shor, so to speak, in the shoes of the master. What would be if the master would have been a treifa? He would be potter. So if, in fact, his shor is a treifa, we say, according to Rav Ashi, that he is potter as well. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Shisha bai sakelev. If someone incited a dog on somebody else, and he killed that person through the dog, potter, because it's considered a grumma, and it's indirect, and therefore he's potter. But the Mishnah went on to say, Aval hisich boyas hanachash, if he caused a snake to pierce the skin of the victim with the fangs of the snake, and the snake put in its venom into the victim and killed him, so then there's a machloek between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the person who did this is chayiv, and the Chum hold it's potter. And now the Gemara wants to know, what's the swore of the machloekis? Shisha b'ayi yisakelav, omer rabacha bar Yaakov shetim tzolam, when you analyze. L'divre Rabbi Yehuda eris nachash ben shina v'wayman. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the venom of a snake, his poison is in its teeth and the fangs. L'fikach makish, or on the side, the Messiah Rosh Hashanah says the words should be masich. In other words, he caused the bite. So the one who did that, besayif, you kill him. Because if he would have a gun in his hand and kill someone, or a sword in his hand and kill someone, it's the same as taking the fangs of the snake and putting it into the skin of that person. That's a murder weapon in your hands because the poison is coming out from the fangs of the snake. So therefore, you get the misa of herig. You killed someone. But the nachash pater, the nachash is pater because the nachash was not the murderer. It was the person who took the nachash to pierce the skin that's the murderer. According to Chachamim, who say that the person who did this is pater, they hold eres nachash me atzmai hu meki, that the snake spews out the poison from himself. In other words, when the person picked him up and put him on the skin, the poison had not yet been emitted. It was the snake that emitted the poison. Who's the real murderer? Nachash. So the nachash is beskila, as Rashi brings down. Hashor yisakel is not only halacha of an ox, it's for any animal. The only reason the Torah spoke about an ox is dibar kasav b'haifa. That's the usual thing, that an ox should do it. But even if a snake kills, it's also beskila. The halacha of shor niskel is with skila. The hamachish, or as it says in the side, from the Messiah's Hashad, Vamasich, and the one who caused this snake to make that bite, to spew, to emit the poison into the person, is potter, because if we look at it in this way, that the poison comes from the snake and not from the fangs piercing the skin, then it comes out that the person who did it is only a grumma. It's an indirect murder, whereas the snake is the real one who's murdering by emitting that poison, and therefore we give skila to the snake. The next Mishnah is based on a pasuk, or two psukim in Shmoyis, Perkof Alek, psukim Yudches and Yutes. We'll read the psukim, because the first words of the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yontif tells us, has to do with the words of the pasuk. The pasuk states, V'chigiruvun anoshim, when two people will fight, V'hiko ishes re'eyu, be'evan or be'agrev, and one person will hit the other one with a stone or with his fist, v'lo yomis, and the victim will not die, v'naflu mishkav, will fall down into bed. He's hurt, but he's not dying or dead. So then the next pasuk says, im yakov v'salach b'chutz al-mishantoy. Pashup shot is, if the victim gets up and he's back to his full power, he is supporting himself not with a cane, but usually Mishanta means a cane, but here, as we'll see in Rashi and Amid Beis, the Targum translates Aburya. He's supporting himself with his full power. V'niko amaka, then the one who hit is absolved, the assailant is absolved from any blame. All that the assailant has to pay to the victim is rak shifti yitim rapi yirapi. He has to pay for his lost time. He has to pay for his doctor bills. But otherwise, he's potter. Based on this, says the Tosfos Yontif, we understand the first words of the Mishnah here. Hamakas chaveroi b'loshen pasuk bein be'evin, whether he does it with a stone, bein be'egrif, or he does it with a fist, as the pasuk used those mishalim, or he did it with any other weapon. Ve'amdu l'mis, and Bezdin assessed that it was a hakah, it was a blow, that normally a person would die from this blow. What happened? Miraculously, unexpectedly, against the assessment of Bezdin, the hekel, mimashohaya, he began to recover from the grave situation which he found himself in. He didn't recover completely, but he made a marked recovery. Well, acher mikan, but then he took, unfortunately, a turn for the worst, and he deteriorated. Umes, and he died. The halacha is chayiv, that we say, since he didn't recover completely. And originally, Bezdin had estimated, evaluated, assessed that he would die. Ein echanami. Rashi brings down, we're going to see in the Gemara, if Bezdin's initial prognosis was that he would live, and then he died, then the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Nechemya, who's going to argue with them in this case, they agree that he's potter. If the initial assessment was that he's going to live, even if he dies later, everybody holds potter. We're speaking about where the initial assessment was he's going to die. Then he made some recovery, not a full recovery. Then he died. So then the Chachamim say, we take on that it's from the initial hit, and therefore, the one who hit him is chai. Rav Nechemya Omer, Rav Nechemya disagrees and says, potter, he's potter. Sheraglaim ledover. There's legs to stand on. We have some indication, since he began to get better, even though it wasn't a full recovery, it must be subsequently when he died that he died from another cause, and it was not because of the initial assessment, because when he began to recover, then Rashi tells us that the Beis Din assessed that, oh, he's going to live. And then when he deteriorated and he died, says Rav Nechemya, must be from another source, and therefore the person who gave the initial hit is Potter. And now the Gemara is going to explain how Rav Nechemya learns this halacha from a pasuk. Tana Rabbanan. Rabbanan learned in a brisa. Azu Dorsh Rav Nechemya. This is what Rav Nechemya darshan. On the pasuk that we mentioned before from Perek Chaf Aleph in Shmoyz. Im Yaakov is halach bachlutz. As we turn to Daf Ein Ches Amid Beis. Al Mishantoy. Rashi says that the simple pshat is from the Targum Al Burya. Shenis Rape Legamri Venishin Al Koyche. He is supporting himself on his own power. Totally. There's no canes involved over here. Then, even though he subsequently dies, v'niko amakev. So now, that's what I just said is how Reb Nechemya is going to explain it at the end. But right now, in the beginning, the way we're learning the pasuk is that he had a full recovery. He's al buryoy without a cane. He's full recovery. So v'niko amakev, the assailant is absolved. And on that, the Gemara questions. The pasuk pshat can't. Hold water. V'chisal al daitcha. Do you entertain for a moment on your mind? Shezeh mahalach b'shuk v'zeh nerek. The Torah had to say these words v'nika amaka, that the assailant is absolved. Of course he's absolved. The person had a full recovery. Would you think that the victim who's walking around the marketplace and we're going to kill the assailant who it came out fortunately for him that the victim had a full recovery? Recovery, the Torah has to tell us that we don't give Misa? Ella. Must be, it's speaking about something else. This is how Reb Nechemya understands the pasuk. Ella zeh sham du l'misa. This person was assessed by Beis Din that he's going to die. In other words, the hit that he got was a death blow, normally. Unexpectedly, vehikel mimashahoya. And he had a recovery, a partial recovery. And the Yad Ramah says a beautiful pshat that now, according to Nechemya, the pshat in v'ishalach b'chutz al mishantoy is that he went out on a cane. In other words, it wasn't a full recovery. He wasn't back to 100% normal. He was supporting himself with a cane, the way Reb Nechemya learns. And then, unfortunately, what happened to Lachakach Hichbiru Meis? And then he took a turn for the worse. He deteriorated and he died. So then Reb Nechemya says, "Ah, v'nika amaka." That's what the Torah is now telling you, that the assailant is absolved. Because once Beis Din assessed that he is going to make a full recovery, even though he subsequently died, it must be from another cause, and therefore the maka is potter. From there is where Reb Nechemya learns his debt. V'rabbanan. Hi, v'nika hamakeh my darshav. What do they learn from the words v'nika hamakeh? Because the Rabbanan don't hold of this. The Rabbanan hold al mishantai means his full power, like the Targum said al burya. And if so, we have the kasha of Reb Nechemya. What did the Torah have to tell me? V'nika hamakeh. Is he going to be walking around the shuk and we're going to kill the assailant? Who Baruch Hashem did not kill him and he's walking around with his full steam? Elamai, the Rabbanan have to say, v'nika amaka refers to something else. Melamed, shechayv shenaisai. You know what the Rabbanan darshan, Rabbanan, hi, v'nika amaka my darshubei, what do they darshan? Melamed, shechayv shenaisai. That you gave a death blow. You were assessed as giving a death blow. Now, maybe miraculously the person will survive. But meanwhile, we don't want you to be a flight risk. You're going to be incarcerated. You're going to be put in prison. And we'll see if what we expect to happen happens, that he's going to die, then you'll be chayv misa. If he recovers, then we'll let you free. But v'nika amake, the assailant is absolved if the fellow has a full recovery. But if he doesn't have a recovery, then we're going to take you to punish you. Malamet shechayv shenaisai, we put him in prison. That's what we learn from v'nika amake. Reb Nechemya Chavisha Minole. How does Reb Nechemya know Chavisha? If he uses V'nika Maka for his case where he got better and then he got worse, that the din is he's potter. Where does he learn Chavisha from? Yolef Mimakoshish. He learns it from the case that we have in Bamidbar Tezvav. As Rashi brings down the beginning of the pasuk, V'enichoi Soy B'mishmar, and the end of the pasuk is Kiloi Piresh Maya Asalai, it was not told to Moshe what should be done with the Mekayesh. The Mekayesh was a person who gathered wood on Shabbos. There's a Machlaikis in the Gemara exactly what, which one of the Lamed Tes Malachos he was Iver. And he was put into prison until Hashem said what should be done with it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what his, as we're soon going to see in the Gemara, what the Misa of the Mekayesh is. Rabbanan, Nami Lelfa Mekayesh. Rabbi Nechemiah learns out prison. Here you see by the Mekayesh where Moshe didn't know he was put into prison. So here too, when we don't know whether this person is going to be Chayav Misa or not, where do we put him? In prison. We don't need Venika Maka for that. I to Rabbon, and why don't they learn it from Mekayesh? Why do they use Venika Maka? The answer is Mekayesh is Bartolu. Mekayesh wasn't a suffix. Is he Chayav Misa or not? Everybody knew that he was Chayav Misa. As Rashi brings down, Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Pasuk, Mechalalev, Moshe Yumas. Moshe didn't know which type of Misa. The second Tosfos on the Amud, Lo Hayu Yodea Beiza Misa, asks, I stam Misa, Moshe Yomis, Mechalev, Moshe Yomis is Bechanik. No, but Moshe had a suffix, says Tosfos, because Chil Shabbos is compared to Avodah Zarah. A person, Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia, in public, is Kekaifer Baker. And he's kaifer in Maisa Bereisha, so therefore I would have a Havamina. It's like Avodah Zarah, where it should be Skila. Which, in fact, we know for Chil Shabbos, there is the Einish of Skila. So Moshe didn't know what Einish, but he knew he's Chayav Misa. So if he's for sure Chayav Misa, I don't know which kind of Misa, Chenek, Skila. Meanwhile, we put him in prison. Lafuke Haid, to exclude our case of our mission of Rav Nechemiah, the Loyadinin Ibark Tolahu, Ilav Bark Tolahu. We don't know if he's going to wind up getting death or not, because it depends what's going to happen to the victim. If he has a recovery, nothing will happen to the assailant. If he dies, then something will happen to the assailant, but we don't know. Well, maybe over there, meanwhile, he's not obligated to be put into prison. It's only when we know for sure that he's Chayav Misa. So this is a good taina of the Rabbanan. Therefore, Rav Nechemiah has to find another source. Rav Nechemiah, Yalf and Megadiv. Rav Nechemiah will learn it out from the person who did blasphemy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we also find a pasuk in the Torah which says, Vayenichu b'mishmar lifroish lahem al pi Hashem. He was also put into a prison to find out what should be done with him. Deloy haviyad ibark tolahu. There it's a case they didn't know that he's Chayav Misa. Mekayishish, like you said, they knew he's Chayav Misa, they didn't know which one. Here they didn't know whether he's Chayav Misa or not, and they put him in prison. So too in our case of Reb Nechemiah, we don't know the case of our of the Pasuk where we don't know whether he's going to wind up getting Misa or not. Meanwhile, you put him into prison. Vichav Shu, they put him into prison. The same thing over here, Reb Nechemiah learns it from Megadiv, and he doesn't need Venika Maka to tell you that he goes to prison. V'Rabbanan, why don't the Rabbanan learn out from Megadiv? Megadiv Haroi Shoisa. The Megadiv was an ad hoc decision. And nobody told the, Rashi explains that nobody told the Klal Yisrael, nobody told Moshe and Aaron that there's a Chi of Misa for that. For all they know, there is no Chi of Misa. In other words, so the Rabbanan feel you can't learn out when, so to speak, they decided on something that they had no precedent for, to put him into prison. Maybe, why should you put him into prison? Who says he's Chayav Misa? So since they did something which they didn't really have any precedent for, we cannot use the case of a Megadev to be a precedent for us, so we can't learn from Megadev that we put him into prison if we don't know whether he's going to be Chayav Misa or not. That's according to the Rabbanan, and Rav Nechemiah still does learn from Megadev to our case. And now the Gemara says, this chilik that you made before between Mekayesh and Megadev, that Mekayesh we knew that he's Chayav Misa, we didn't know which Misa. And Megadev, we don't know if he's Chayav Misa or not. Kiddushan, we learned like that in a Braisa. Moshe knew that the Mekayesh has to die. Shenemer Mechalel Moshe Yumas. It says Beferish in the Pasuk. Ela Loya Yedei didn't know Be'ezah Misa Nerig. Which Misa are we going to apply to? Is it going to be Chenek? Is it going to be Skila? As we mentioned before, Shenemer Kiloi Poyresh Ma Ye Osa Loi. As Rashi explains, and it seems from Rashi that he had those words in his Gemara, we have it in V'goymer, etc. But Rashi explains that the question of Moshe is what should be done to him, but I know that something has to be done to him. I don't know if it's Skila or if it's Chenik. Avol Megadev, look carefully, says Rashi, at the wording of the pasuk by Megadev when he was put into prison. Avol Megadev le'nemer boy elalif roish lahem al pi Hashem. It doesn't say me'yosolai. There it says that he was put into prison till it will be, they will find out from Hashem what should be done. Maybe nothing's done. Maybe he gets Malkus. Maybe he's put in Chayrim. We don't know what's going to happen to the Megadev, whether there's Misa or not. So, if you read the words carefully, as Rashi explains, by Moshe, he didn't know at all what should happen to him. Not Maya Osulai. Something has to be done. I don't know what. What Misa? No. Here, I don't know at all. Maybe he'd get off scot-free for doing this. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. And this has to do, Rashi explains, with the psukim that we began with at the beginning of the Mishnah. The psukim in Shmoyis Perek Chaf Aleph, psukim Yudches and Yudtes. I'll read the whole pasuk, and then we will see that there are two sections of these two psukim that are superfluous, and the Gemara is going to darshan them according to Reb Nechemiah and according to Rabban. The pasuk said, "V'chi yiriven anoshim v'hika ishes re'eu be'evener be'egrav v'loy yamas v'nafal mishkav." The second pasuk, "Im yakum v'shalach b'chutz al mishanter v'nika amake rak shifta yitim v'rapi yirapi." So Rashi says that these two psukim could really be put together and made much shorter. That it could have said, it could have been abbreviated as follows: V'chi yirivun anoshim v'hiko ishes re'eu be'evin oy be'egrav v'nafal mishkav shifta yitim v'rapi rapi. If the whole purpose of this these psukim is to tell me that when a person is hit and he doesn't die, he receives a Shevis and Ripui. So from the first pasuk, it's extra the words, Veloyamas. Obviously, if he falls into his bed and he gets Ripui and Shevis, he didn't die. He's just sick in bed. Leave out the words, Veloyamas. In the second pasuk, what do you need the whole introduction? Im Yochum Vishalach Bachutz al Mishante Vinika Amake. What do you need all that for? Just put the words, Rak Shifti Yitin Rapi Rapi. So make an abbreviated, put the two psukim, merge them together, and the pasuk should have been, V'chi Yiruven Anoshim, V'hika Ishas Reha Be'evan Oy Be'egrav, V'nafal Amishkav Shifti Yitin Rapi Rapi. So we have two extra phrases of assessment, and it must be that they're being mechadesh, that two halachas that we wouldn't know unless these verses, these phrases were put in, and that's why they were put in. Now let's see the Gemara inside. Bishlam or Rabbi Chaim, according to Rabbi Chaim, it's good. Haine d'chsivi trei umdini. We know why two extra phrases were put into these psukim, speaking about the assessment of Bezdin, and they're going to teach us two unique halachas. Chad amdu l'misa v'chayo. The first pasuk of v'loy yamas is to tell me when Bezdin assessed that he's going to die, and instead he lived. So, according to Reb Nechemiah, we read the first pasuk with the extra words of Eloi Yomas in the following way. And Bezdin thought he's going to die. They assessed him that he's going to die. And as the Mephorshim speak out, they paskin based on that hit that was a death blow, where they thought for sure he's going to die, they paskened, okay, you're chayv misa, and then the unexpected happened, v'loyomz, v'nafal mishkav. So in that case, all you have to pay is shevis and ripui, you have to pay the chameshes dvorim, nezek tzar, ripui, shevis, abayshes, but you don't get misa. I would have thought since Bezdin paskened that he's chayv misa, because they never expected him to have a recovery. So perhaps he should be chayv misa. Kamash malan, that no, that he's not chayiv misa. You have to say, the Mephorshim explained there was a psak bezdin here, because otherwise you have the question the Gemara asked on the top of the daf. V'chisal al dait choshezem ahalach b'shuch v'zen erik. If there was no psak bezdin, so now bezdin's going to take and kill him. He had a full recovery. He's walking around the marketplace, and we're going to kill the assailant. What did he do wrong? The person's living. So the chiddush where I need the pasuk, where I need the extra words of Veloyamas, is to tell you there was an assessment, but based on the assessment, Bezdin paskin, that the person should be put to death. and then the victim had a recovery, the halach is we forget about the Psak Bezdin, and the person only has to pay monetarily, he doesn't get Misa. That's the first one, according to Rav Nechem. The second, the Chad, the extra words at the beginning of the second Pasuk of Im Yakum Vishalach Bachutz Amashanta Vinika Amaka, that's for what we had before from Rav Nechem at the top of the summit. The Chad Amdula Misa, the Hekel Mimasha Hoya, that he got better, and then he got worse, and he died, that the halacha there is as well, Vinika Amaka, that's what we learn out from Vinika Amaka. So according to Rav Nechem, we understand why we have both psukim. He got better. He was walking around on a cane, as the Yad Ramah says. He was walking around on a cane. So he got slightly better. He didn't get fully better. In that case, where he got better and then subsequently worse and died, Rav Nechem holds that he's potter, not like the Chum. So according to Rav Nechem, we understand both the psukim and the extra words in each pasuk. El Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, trei umdeni lamali, why do I have these two extra psukim? Because, according to the Rabbanan, ein echanami, they'll need v'niko hamake for putting him in prison, incarcerating him, until we can find out whether he's chayv misa or not. Will the victim have a recovery or not? Okay, we need that from v'niko hamake. I'll give you as well the words v'lo yomus, as Rashi explains, I'll learn it the same way as Rav Nechemia does, that they were that he was assessed to die and to be given that he had received a death blow, and therefore Bezdin Paskin that the assailant is chayv misa, and then he had a recovery that the halacha will be that he's potter. So those limudim I understand. What I don't understand are these words, Im Yakum Vishalach Bachutz Al Mashantoi. What do I need? What's that second phrase for? So, what are both psukim teaching me? Because the Rabbanan don't hold like Nechemia, that if it gets easier, he has a somewhat of a recovery, he's walking around on his cane, and then he dies, that he's potter. The Rabbanan holds in that case, he's chayiv. So, if so, what do I have that extra beginning of the second verse, what is it teaching us? So the Gemara answers, Chad, Amdu, Lemisa, V'chaya. One is speaking about the same, like Rav Nechemia said, a limud for the assessment of death, and then the person unexpectedly lived. V'chad, Amdu, L'chayim, Umeis. And one is just the opposite, where they assess that he's going to live, and subsequently he died, that the din is, since Bezdin originally assessed that he's going to live from this makkah, even though he subsequently dies, the assailant is potter. And now Rashi says an interesting thing, that if we're going to learn out these two lamudim, we're going to have to learn the psukim according to the Rabbanan different than the way Rav Nechemia learned it. Let's take the extra phrase in the first pasuk. The extra phrase was v'lo yamos. So Rav Nechemia learned it, v'lo yamos, that not like Bezdin thought that he's going to die, instead v'lo yamos, he lived. So it is amdu l'misa v'chaya. That's how Rav Nechemia learned it. And that's how we thought in the Havamin and the Rabbanan also. But now that we want to learn to limudim, the only way we can work it out is by doing a flip. Flip meaning that v'lo yamos does not mean they thought he's going to die and instead he lived, but rather v'lo yamos means that that was part of the initial assessment that he's not going to die. And instead, what happened? That he did die. That's in ours, the second case here, v'chad, amdu l'chayim umeis, it's listed second in the Gemara, but in the limud, it's learned first from the first pasuk. The Rabbanan will learn differently than Rav Nechemia and differently than we thought in the Havamin of the Rabbanan. They will learn v'chiruven anashim v'hika ishes re'o be'evenoi be'egrov, and we assess that v'lo yamos. Not that v'lo yamos is what happened. They assessed he's going to die and he didn't die. But rather v'lo yamos is part of the assessment, the faulty assessment, that they made a faulty assessment that he's going to live. And instead what happened, he died. Ah, the Rabbanan hold, he's potter. Once you made an assessment he's going to live, then the murderer gets off scot-free. And the other limud, which is listed in our Gemara first, but is really learned second from the second pasuk, chad, the first one is amdu l'misa v'choya. This, which Reb Nechemya learned out from Velayamas, the Rabban are going to learn it out from the second pasuk. What's the second pasuk? That im yakum v'shalach b'chutz amishantai v'niko amakeh. That's speaking about that instead of dying the way the Beis Din assessed him, instead what happened was im yakum v'shalach b'chutz that v'chaya. That's learned from the second pasuk. So according to this limud, they have two limudim. The first pasuk is for chad emdu l'chayim umeis. The second pasuk is emdu l'misa v'chaya. Now the question is, where does Reb Nechemya know the new halach of the chachamim of emdu l'chayim umeis? Reb Nechemya, emdu l'chayim umeis? Leitzarchra, that you don't need a pasuk for. Why? Sharei yotzim ibez din zakai. That I learned out from the halacha, that once Beis Din paskens that someone is not chayv misa and he walks out, that you cannot retry him and try to make him get killed. As Rashi brings down from the Gemara before in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Minayin liyotzim Beis Din zakai, v'omer echad yeshu lamed alav chayva, she'ein machzir noisai, she'nemer v'tzadik al tarik, the pasuk says, a tzadik, a person who Beis Din paskin is a tzaddik, you can no longer kill him, even though witnesses will come and say, oh, I have something to say against him that will prove to you that he committed this murder. No, once Beis Din paskin, the psak din is that he's innocent, you can no longer find him guilty. So I don't need to learn this out from this pasuk. That's why Reb Nechemya uses it for the limud of when he got kal, and later on he died, that's pater. They don't need it for the Rabbanan's limud of Amdu L'chaim Umeis. However, the Rabbanan are of the opinion that Amdu L'chaim is not a Psak Beis Din. This is the machloikas here between Reb Nechemya and the Rabbanan in this case. According to Reb Nechemya, Amdu L'chaim is tantamount to a Psak Beis Din that the assailant is innocent. Because if Beis Din assessed that the victim is going to live, Reb Nechemya considers that like a psak Beis Din, that he's a ish tzaddik, and he can no longer be found guilty. Whereas the Rabbanan say, just because there was an assessment that the victim is going to live, that is not yet a verdict that the assailant is innocent. Rather, we have to learn it out from the pasuk Beferish itself, V'lo yamos, Beis Din assessed that he's going to live. And in fact, he died. Oh, that's what the pasuk here is teaching us, that he goes innocent. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught in the Braisa, Hamakas Chaveri. If Reuven hit his friend, Vamdu L'misa, and they estimated that his friend Shimon assessed him that he's going to die, V'choyo, and then he lived, Poitrin Oisoi, that he is Potter, as we just learned, you can no longer make him Chayiv. But Rashi says he's going to be Chayiv in the Chamisha Dvorim, Nezek Tzar, Rippi Shevus Abayshis. Vamdu L'misa, if Beis Din assessed that he's going to die, V'hekel Mimai Shahoyo. This is the case of Reb Nechemya. He had an unexpected recovery. And then the halacha is, so now we forget about the assessment for death. Now we assess him for the five things that he has to pay. He's no longer going to get a death penalty, but he has to pay the Chamisha Dvarim. And what happens? This is the case of Reb Nechemya, that afterwards he deteriorated and he actually died. So the halach acher oimer emtsoi, you go after the middle one, or Rashi says this means the second one of the mamon. And this is Reb Nechemya's sheet, the divrei Reb Nechemya. These are the words of Reb Nechemya, that if you have an assessment that he should get the death penalty, but then you revise it, that the victim is going to live. So you go with that second assessment, and therefore there's no more misa, even though he subsequently dies, and rather the assailant only has to pay the five monetary punishments. So the chachamim are of the opinion, ein oimid achar oimid, which means even if Beis Din carried out a second assessment of the chameshes dvorim, but the paramount one is the first one. And I don't say that it's considered that he went out from Beis Din Zakai when they made the second one. And rather I say the Iker is the first one, and he's Chayiv Misa, and he's Potter from Mammon. We don't go with the second assessment. Tanya Yedek, we learned in a different Breiser, Amdu L'Misa, Amdu Maisa L'Chaim. If Beis Din assessed him to die, because the victim is going to die, and then the victim lived, so the halacha is Amdu Maisa L'Chaim. So then we assess the assailant to live. We don't say that Bezdin already paskin that he's going to die, and therefore he should die. What happens if Bezdin paskin l'chayim, einayim d'maitzah l'misa? This is exactly the halacha of Reb Nechemya. Once they said that he's going to live, we don't say that later on, when they assessed him for Misa, that they made a mistake when they assessed him originally l'chayim. But rather, whenever he's granted life, we can't retract it to Misa. Amdu l'misa v'hakum imah shahaya. He got better. Then, I'm a chain l'mam, and we make a second assessment for money. V'im l'achakach hichbiru meis, mishalem nezek v'tzar l'yarshim. This is the halacha from Nechemya, that we go with the second evaluation, and he doesn't get the death penalty, even though the victim subsequently died, and you give the Nezek and Tzar to the Yarshim. Rashi says, of course, it's not only Nezek and Tzar, it's Rippy and Shevis Barsh as well, except the Rashi's Lashon is that the Tana was not Lav Urcha the Tana Lamechshev Peruchla. He's not like a peddler, a storyteller. He goes around from one person to the other telling stories. In other words, the Chazal try to be brief, and we should say here, Nezek Tzar, etc. He gives it to the Yarshim, but he does not get the death penalty. Me'em Esai Mishalem. When do we evaluate what he has to pay? Misha Shehiko, which Rashi explains to mean, we look at what he was worth before the hit, and what he was worth right after the hit, and we don't look what he was worth before the hit, and what he's worth later when he recovers, because by the time he recovers, he'll almost be back to the way he was before the hit. So there would be very little damage. Then it would come out that the Nizik would lose. But rather, we make the assessment right before the hit and right after the hit. And this b'raisa, stomach of Reb Nechemya, the b'raisa that says that if there was an assessment for making it easier for him, that he loses the death penalty because the victim has recovered, even if the victim deteriorates, we give him the easier verdict of money and not Misa. And the Chacham disagree, and they say that you go with the first estimation of Misa. This Brisa, even though it didn't mention Nechunya's name, is Stama. It's a plain Brisa, anonymous Brisa, but it's going like the Shita of Rabbi Nechemya.